Y'all acting up tonight. Are y'all ready for the rest of the program? Are y'all ready to testify? You ready to testify? I got freedom on my mind. I got freedom on my mind. I got freedom on my mind. Come on. I got freedom. Justice. I got justice
on my mind.
Yeah, I got
justice
on my mind. I don't know where I'm going. I got justice on my mind. I got justice on my mind. I got love.
I got love on my mind. I got love on my mind. I got love.
Look at somebody and say, and I ain't turning around. Look at the cameras and say,
and I ain't turning around. And I ain't turning around.
Bring it down.
And I ain't turning around.
Bring it a little down.
And I ain't turning around.
A little bit more, a little bit more.
And I ain't turning around.
A little bit more.
And I ain't turning around.
Last time. Yeah, would y'all welcome Reverend Dr. Liz Theo Harris tonight?
Good evening, good evening. At this time, we're going to pass the bucket for a donation, please. Yeah, it's a nonprofit organization, and we know that in order to make anything effective, we got to have that mean green. We have to have more funds. So at this time, we're going to ask the organist to give us a song, please. And while the song is being played, we have three buckets that's going around. So if you see a red bucket, that is the bucket that we're asking that you put your donation in. We also have shirts to be sold as well. A Rise shirt that our president has on, and some of the other workers as well. The adult shirt is $10, and we do have for children as well. Those are $5. And we do have some goodies as well. So if you have a taste for tea cookies, we do have tea cookies for sale, and that price is $1. So at this time, give us some music, please. And we're going to ask you to be generous. Give as your heart desires. Amen. We all know that God loves a cheerful giver. He said not to give grudgingly nor of necessity. For he loveth a cheerful giver. So as you're giving, give with a smile upon your face. We don't care the amount as long as you're giving it from your heart. And that's okay. So at this time, as the Lord direct your heart to give, think about the use of your donation, how it's going to be used to better our community as well as other community around us. So we ask that you please, your heart desire, to give, and it will be given back to you. The Bible said, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give it to you. Amen. And it does not have to be monetary, for God loves a cheerful giver. It can be favor. We all want the favor of the Lord, right? So God is going to give and bless you when you give. that smile on your face, we ask that you please give. Church, on my immediate right, $10 for adult, $5 for children. And for your taste bud, we all know that some of you have jambalaya. We hope you enjoyed the cake as well. We do have cookies if you want to even out your taste bud. If you need something salty, you need something sweet. And it's only a dollar. Amen. All right, Elder Clyde, come on, bless the offering. Yes. We have one more bucket coming. Amen. Thank you all so much for those who gave. Thank you for giving out of your heart. All right, Reverend Clyde Cooper, if you don't mind, please.
I ask everyone to stretch your hands toward the offering. We do that in solidarity to support the coming agreement with our giving. Father, we just thank you for every seed that's been sown. We ask you that you will multiply, bring increase in their life, whatever they stand in need of, that you will bless it. We thank you that you will bless this group, rise and continue to let resources come in, that they may continue the work that they're doing to make our lives better in the 5th District, and not just in this district and in this parish and in this state, but throughout the nation. We ask this blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. We thank you all so much. Testifiers.
Thank you so much. So my name is Reverend Dr. Liz Theo Harris, and I have the honor of serving alongside Reverend Dr. William Barber as the co-chair of the Poor People's Campaign, A National Call for Moral Revival. In 1968, Reverend Dr. King said, "The poor of this nation, both white and Negro, live in a cruelly unjust society."
That's right, Liz. That's right.
"If they can be helped to take action together, they will do so with a freedom and a power that will be a new and unsettling force."
That's right.
"In our complacent national life." Dr. King was killed before he was truly able to build a powerful Poor People's Campaign. But what he envisioned was to bring poor people together across race, across creed,
yes,
across the states of these yet-to-be United States, into a powerful, nonviolent, intergenerational, multiracial army of the poor.
That's right.
So 50 years have passed, and poverty has only gotten that much worse. We have 60% more poor people today than we did 50 years ago.
Teach us.
We have fewer voting rights today than we did 50 years ago. Today, climate change, the fossil fuel industry, the diseases caused by wealthy corporations making money off of our death and misery, has everything run amok.
Yes, yes.
And so we have to take up this charge of organizing, organizing, organizing. So we were so honored when we were invited here to St. James Parish,
yeah,
to hear from the struggles that are taking place here and across Louisiana. And as I was listening to folks share so far this evening, a passage of the Bible came to my head. Isaiah 6 reads, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, here am I. Send me. So this passage is pulled out, right? When people step forward to dedicate their lives to the gospel, to dedicate their lives to the cause of freedom. They said this passage at my ordination, and I was to answer, here am I. Send me. Being with folks today in Louisiana and in this room this evening, it's a room full of people who have answered that call. Who shall I send? We got Travis from Donaldsonville, Cherie from Camp Levee, leaders from all over New Orleans, people who have come forward here in St. James Parish. You all that are gathered saying, here am I, send me. But then we don't always keep reading. Because Isaiah 6 continues and it says, and he said, go and say this to the people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and bind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. For many of us, this is so true. We cry out, over here, here's this devastation, here's this pollution, here's this death. And people don't listen. Those in power continue to pull permits for pipelines. Sometimes they call them the swordfish. Like that pipeline won't kill every fish in the sea and every bird in the air and all the people living on the land. They try to bring in a plastic company and call it Project Sunshine. Like those plastics won't create clouds of darkness and pollution in the air. And so often our response is, how long, O Lord? How long does this have to continue? How many people have to die? I was just in Paradise, California, where climate change has brought about some of the worst wildfires in the history of that state. We looked at the land and the tens of thousands of people made homeless overnight because of those fires. And people cried out, how long? How long? We were just in Michigan, where almost 5 years later, the city of Flint still doesn't have clean water. But Nestle can bottle free water and make millions while a whole generation of children have been poisoned. And I don't have to tell you here in St. James Parish that Flint isn't the only place that got poisoned water. People are crying out, how long? How long? And then it continues, until cities lie waste without inhabitant and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste, and the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled. Until cities lie waste without inhabitant. How many months were people sent away from New Orleans? So many of those communities haven't come back. The land is a desolate waste, not because it's God's intention, but because petrochemicals pollute it. But this is the work we're called to do. Here am I, send me. And we must ask how long. But we know that Isaiah doesn't end there. We know the answer is not long. We know the answer is if you get rid of unfair practices. If you quit blaming victims, you quit gossiping about other people's sins. If you are generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shadowed lives will be bathed in sunlight. I will always show you where to go. I'll give you a full life in the emptiest of places. Firm muscles, strong bones. You'll be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. You'll use the old rubble of the past lives to build anew. Rebuild the foundations from out of your past. You'll be known as those who can fix anything. I think there's some people in this room that are those that are known who can fix anything. Anyone here know someone here that can fix anything? Anyone know anyone here who can restore the streets to live in? Be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of hope? We're having a revival tonight. And we're getting ready to hear more stories. And we have to ask how long. But then we also know that joy comes in the morning. So please welcome some very courageous folks fighting in this great state of Louisiana who have come forward to share their stories, to say, we're not alone, to answer the call of who shall I send? Who will go for us? I want to introduce Robert Taylor from the Concerned Citizens of St. John, Alicia Garth from History of Cancer Alley, and Cherie Foytlin from the Indigenous Environmental Network, and Le Est La Vie. So please welcome these powerful people.
From the parish right adjoining, and when I hear the stories, I was just so moved by the stories, because they're the stories that we're living right next door, and it's difficult to listen to the stories. I hear them daily at home. It's what drove me to this. We formed this organization, a few very special people in St. John, the Baptist Parish. We want anything other than concerned people. when we discovered what the chemical plants, along with our politicians and elected officials whom we trusted,
that's right,
what they were actually doing to us. When we found out that our elementary school, which was only 1,500 feet from Dinkins fence line, was being, these children, there were 500 to 600 elementary school children, 1,500 feet from the fence line. And when they were forced to put out the facts of what was really going on, they were forced by EPA to monitor the amount of emissions of a very dangerous chemical that the government has said is a carcinogen, likely, that these children were being bombarded with 400 to 700 times what EPA says is a safe level. We immediately formed this group. We just came together. People are giving me credit with saying I'm the founder of the group. Now, these people, and I brought the story.
That's right.
And these people just, we came together. That was almost 3 years ago. We went to the school board, and from the school board to the council, and from the council to Baton Rouge. And today, this was in June, July, August of 2016. Today we are in 2019. Those school children are still there, still being bombarded with the same. And we're fighting against a chemical called chloroprene, but it's one of 29 poisons that's being emitted in this community. One of 29 from this particular plant. EPA has set up what they call census tracts, and the one that I live in, the one with the school is in, census tract 708, has been designated as 800 times the likelihood of what the national average is. The Louisiana Cancer, their oncology department said, we were equal to the national average. We live in Cancer Alley, so we knew that LSU was lying to us. I mean, they didn't call it Cancer Alley because of chloroprene. So when they told us that, we knew that that wasn't factual. So when the government came in and began to do its investigation, they found out that this particular census tract was 800 times what the national average was. That's, how could anybody countenance that? How could these politicians allow these chemicals? Now it's a Japanese plant. And when EPA sets the standard at, what's it say, Raymond? 0.2. And the Japanese people tell our government that their science is bad, that that's not a good figure. And they are fighting it. And they have been fighting it, and it's not changed. Nothing has changed. So when I hear what's going on here and upriver from us, when I visited with the people in San Gabriel, and when I heard the way we have a Louisiana Department of Environmental Quality, and it is the worst thing that could happen to poor people in Louisiana. This atrocity, this guy, I don't know where they get him from. He's the head of DEQ. DEQ was there to protect us. This man came to our parish and went before this school board, and when they called him up to the podium, he turned around and pointed my people out and said to the people there, our elected officials, don't pay any attention to these people. They are fear mongers, they're spreading misinformation. This is Chuck Carl Brown of the department. It is unbelievable. He went, that's exactly why he is there. That's why they put him there, because he looked like us.
Teach us now. Teach us.
So we are now 3 years into this fight, and the statistics, the emissions are the same. After 3 years of our struggling with this, we had no support. We had one of our politicians who was actually instrumental in helping us form this organization and stood by us all the way through. I'd like to introduce him. He's here, Mr. Larry Sarraparu. He's trying to hide back there. He was instrumental in the formation of this group, and he supported us. He's the only person in the parish that stood up in front of the cameras and said that DuPont should either meet the requirement or shut down.
Yes,
you know, they attacked us and said, well, man, we got 230 jobs here. You guys trying to shut the plant down. No, we're not trying to shut the plant down. I don't know where the 200 who those employees are. They're not from St. John Parish. But even if they were, there are 40,000 people in St. John Parish. And I don't care about the jobs of 200 people that our children and our grandparents are going to die. I have a daughter that's suffering from a disease that's so rare, and they said it comes from chloroprene. There are three people in the parish got it. And they said this particular disease is an immune disease that chloroprene attacks. And it leaves them vulnerable to other parasites, you know, because she came up with something called gastroparesis, and they couldn't find a reason for it. It took the doctors 4 years to discover why she had it, because of the immune disease she had that was a result of her exposure to chloroprene. Unfortunately, when I built my house in the 60s, she was the last of our children, and when we moved in the house, she was born. She came out the hospital and came straight to that house. And DuPont started in that year to emit chloroprene. So she came into the world being exposed to that stuff. We know nothing about it. And here we are years later, we're going through this struggle. And we have this government in place that does not care about poor people.
That's right.
And I really believe that it was
based, and really we can see that it's about the fact that the majority of poor people are black people. But there's gonna be collateral damage no matter what, you know. So in my struggles, the struggles that we have, we run into poor white people who are suffering too. Because these rich, powerful people do not care about people.
No.
They don't care. They are only interested in the bottom line.
Profit.
And for the state to allow these people, this plant is bordering in what we call, it's an East Reserve. And it's the communities immediately adjacent to that plant that's suffering the greatest. But they have shown that the whole parish is above safe level. There's no safe level of chloroprene in the parish of St. John. And it rolls over into West St. Charles Parish, the western borders of St. Charles Parish. This one plant, this school, there are three schools within a half a mile of that thing. Our high school and another major elementary school. And they're going to sacrifice all of these children for this plant. The state came together and did some sort of fake study, a three-month study, and came back and said, well, it doesn't matter if we move the kids out of Fifth Ward because there's no place in the parish we can take them. So what their decision is, to sacrifice all the kids, not to stop the plant. They never even considered enforcing that 0.2. They've never considered it.
Never.
And what really egregious to me is, in 2016, early, right into this, when DuPont found out that we were getting this information and spreading it in the community, they called, DEQ had to put it on their website. They were ordered by EPA.
to make it available to the people, Chuck R. Brown. DuPont called him and told him to not give us access to that information. And he cut us off. If it wasn't for LEAN, Louisiana Environmental Action Network, they fought it. But this guy who works for the people of Louisiana, actually, this plant called him and ordered him, I guess, because he denied us access to the website, which is illegal just under the Freedom of Information Act. But they have been specifically instructed to make us aware. Mm-hmm. And DuPont is a monster. Yeah. DuPont Denver. Yep. They said, don't let them Negroes get any more information. And that guy there, he immediately cut us off. Fortunately, we have organizations like the organizations here promoting this. And we all came together and frightened him. And well, he knew he was going to be in trouble. The governor wasn't going to be able to let him get away with that. So we have to hold these politicians accountable. That's where our problem is. In St. John now, we're trying to start a voters league. We have to educate. With the schools taking it out, people are not aware. People are not participating in these elections. Because these people who we elect, they are not representing us. Was this vote to allow this monster in here unanimous?
No.
In St. James?
No.
Huh?
No.
It was not unanimous?
No.
There were dissenting votes?
Correct.
But it was a majority of elected officials. So we have to be keenly aware of who we elect. So not to take up the whole night, I appreciate being here with all these wonderful people.
Yes, sir.
And I thank you.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God.
Glory be to God.
Even in the midst of all this tragedy that we're facing, we still got to say glory be to God. Because our God is the God of everything. He is the God of everything. My name is Alicia Garth, and I'm from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I live in a small town called Alsa in Baton Rouge. In this small town, we live in a fishbowl. Every which way but loose is different things around us. Whether it's the pipeline, whether it's chemicals, it's coming from so many plants, we in a fishbowl.
That's right.
But still in all, I would say glory be to God.
Yes.
I wanted to share a little bit about my testimony, my praise report, because I give it all to God.
Yes.
In 2008, I was diagnosed. Well, yeah, the enemy can use people to diagnose. But you know what? I'm not even owning it. The enemy afflicted me with carcinoid cancer. And it was not only in my intestines, because it is environmental.
Okay.
It migrated to my liver.
Wow.
Mm. Amen. So right now, 2019, I can say glory be to God. My God delivered me from it all. The devil is a liar. We got to say that the devil is a liar. We got to stand up and not just sit here like we're insignificant, because we're not an insignificant people. We are not an insignificant people. Amen.
Amen.
So we get up and we stick our chest out and we say, we're going to take what's mine.
Yeah.
We live here in these towns.
Yeah.
That the devil tries to infest with all kinds of things and not giving us the temptation and not giving us the information that's needed. They're lying. They're talking about what they're going to do. But I say, I want to find in the scriptures, Psalm 94, and I would applaud everybody to read that. But 16 says, who will stand up for me against the evildoers? Who will rise up against the workers of iniquity?
Right.
I raise my hand.
Yes.
I raise my hand because you know what? My God allowed me to still be here.
Yes.
To talk about it, I'm going to talk about it.
Yes.
And I want every politician, everyone that sits there in office, that they put themselves there, to know God gave you a chance to be there.
Yes.
You better get yourself right. And Romans 13 and 1 through 3. You know what? It tells us as Christians how to act.
Yeah.
Even with who we have in office, President Trump.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us that we got to pray for him. Because yeah. that's a soul. If he's lost, he's going to hell.
Yeah.
And right now, we still seeing that we see nothing of you changing your mind, of that you're repenting and turning from your wicked ways. Yeah. God said in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, if my people, right. which are called by my name, yeah. shall humble themselves yeah. and pray yeah. and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Yeah. So we're going to do that.
Yeah.
We're going to stand tall and say, you know what? We live here. We don't want the chemicals. We don't want our water where we can't drink it, where we can't bathe. We don't want it. We don't want it. We don't want it. And I tell you, when we come as a people against the workers of iniquity, we can call those things that be not as though they are. We can call those things that be not as though they are. We can call those things that be not as though they are.
All right.
You know what? I have three sons. I don't know if mental illness is caused from the air.
Right.
We don't know. If we don't know if all the different things that our kids go through, our older peoples go through, our parents go through, is it because of things that they have eaten in the past? I was at the post office and I was always feeling something right here. And I'm going to be transparent. Because, see, we need transparency. And I want everybody to hear me.
Yeah.
But right here, and I felt it. And I said, God, something is here. I thought I had indigestion or what. So you know what? I would just push on it. Not knowing that way back 13, 14, 15 years ago, that they lied.
Uh-oh.
They lied.
Yeah.
But you know what? My God seemed fit to keep me here. Yeah. And I'm going to talk about
yeah.
it. I'm going to talk about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. I believe, I don't just say what I say, I believe it, Pastor.
Yeah.
I believe it. I believe what it says.
Yeah.
I believe what God said. God is not a man that he shall lie.
Yeah.
Even if he's the son of man, he has to repent. If he said it, I'm going to believe it. But I thank God for being a chosen one.
Because
we are a peculiar people. We are royal priesthood. We are holy nation. God is the God of everything.
Yeah.
And I believe God.
Yeah.
Again, I say my name is Alicia Garth. If you want to talk to me, whatever, because you know what? I've been through some things
mm-hmm.
to even get to the point where I know that I'm chosen.
Yeah.
I done had the cancer. I done had the surgery. Surgery does what it does, but it migrated to my liver.
Mm.
But I can talk about this story.
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about it with boldness, with power
yeah.
from on high.
Yeah.
Y'all pray.
Yeah.
We're pray. Don't stop praying. God hears you.
Yeah.
He hears you. He sees your tears, mother.
Yeah.
He sees what you're going through.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
I'm going to make it quick because I know that we're getting low on time here, and I know I'm also been asked to testify. And like I say, I invited Reverend Barbara and everyone here, and I'll proudly say that because I believe in the Poor People's Campaign. I believe in the power of poor people because I've been poor my whole life, and I see my grandmother stand up and feed me with nothing. See? So I know miracles happen because I had a full belly when there was nothing there. I need you to do me a favor. If I'm going to testify, you got to shut your eyes. I want you to see it. Because it ain't enough sometimes just to hear nothing.
Teach us.
Sometimes you got to see it.
Teach us.
Shut your eyes, and I want you to think about Exxon Refinery by Baton Rouge. I saw a mother there hold her baby whose lips were blue with asthma. You ever see fear in a mother's eyes? The only thing that was close to it was the fear in that baby's eyes. I have seen five-year-old white Cajun fishermen and their daddy hit their knees on a fishing vessel as BP oil choked out their livelihood. And I have seen that same child with lesions all over his body and have to leave this place, the only place they've ever known. I have walked from New Orleans to D.C. And I have seen open air toxic pits and mountaintop removal. And I have seen fracking. And I have seen sickness and illness. And I've seen drilling. And I've seen rich people get richer. And I've seen brown and black and poor babies with nothing. How much money has this industry made off of this state? And yet our babies still don't have good education. They still don't have health care. It ain't right. I seen pelicans die. I seen grandmothers cry. I seen indigenous people, native people, lose the land that their ancestors have been on since time immortal. And I have seen, if I am to testify, I have seen people rise again and again and again to fight and to speak out, to testify, to be strong. If you're a part of Loé La Vie, stand up. Let's get a round of applause. Loé La Vie is water is life. We kick off the back of the movement and standing up. You can open your eyes now so you can see. 350 NOLA, stand up. Rise, St. James can stand up. Poor People's Campaign can stand up. Travis, stand up. These people have been fighting until they ain't got nothing left. You know what they mean to me? You can sit down. Do you know what they did to me when I started this fight? From the time I started this fight, I have been reported to child welfare 4 times. 4 in 2 years. The most recent one yesterday. They drug me out of my house and they beat me with a belt in the street. I've had more threats on my life than I can count. You might say, you're not being a very good motivator tonight, Sheree. But here's the deal. All those people that stood up, they've had similar stories
that
they could tell you.
That's right.
And I need to just be real with you. I want to be real with you. That is what it's going to take.
That's it.
We have got to look into the eyes of these people and we have to back them down. Because they will not concede unless we make them. And that means we're going to have to dig deep inside ourselves and find that power that was given to us by our ancestors over generation after generation after generation. And we are going to have to understand that we are not the end. We will not solve this. We got to pass that to the babies that were back there at that table and sitting in those chairs right there. Because I ain't going to see the end. I know that. If justice is going to rain down on us like a storm, it will come from those children. Keep bringing them. Keep showing them. And understand that you are passing them a torch that will protect them and your grandchildren and your grandchildren's grandchildren. It is every bit as important as putting food on the table. You have to build their moral sense, their moral demand for dignity.
That's it.
Across all these issues.
That's it.
I demand health care for those babies. I demand clean air for my babies. I command food on the table for my babies. Because we have given enough. My grandma paid for it with her blood. And she gave it to me. And I'm going to give it to them. Because that's our job. That's what we have to do. So I just want everybody to keep those visions in your mind. But whatever you do, if you don't hear nothing else I say tonight, I want you to hear that your babies are worth every drop of the blood in your body in order to make sure that they are safe, they are secure, and they are ready to fight the next battle. Because when it really comes down to it, that's all we have to give. Just wait. I got 6. Would you like to speak, sir?
My God. I'm waiting on you. I'm listening to you. Amen.
Thank you, everybody, for being here tonight. You made a personal dream of mine come true.
You're my sister from another mother. Forever.
Forever.
Forever. You know, when you hear people's heart, somebody had a computer they were supposed to ring. You hear people's heart, it just does something to you. You know, I come from, part of my ancestry is the Tuscarawan Indians in eastern North Carolina. I come from a black, white, and Tuscarawan Indian blood. I don't really know where to start tonight. I'm listening. How many of you all know somebody that you believe, because of all these toxins and stuff, they've experienced cancer or some other disease? My God. In this community and in these surrounding communities. You know, I'm real teary-eyed because I just lost my brother. I just preached my brother's eulogy, who died in 30 days from pancreatic cancer that was misdiagnosed for 2 years. And we are wondering, too, about the whole toxin thing. We've got to have a movement. We are the movement. And we've got to recognize that we do have a national emergency. And it is not on the border between Mexico and Texas. It's what's happening in communities like these all over and inside the United States. And the attention violence, it is violent to ignore this. Whether you're a black politician, white politician, pastor, or anything. And when we connect that to recognizing that 50% of the people in Louisiana are poor, that's 2.3 million residents. 1 million of them are white, 1.2 million are black. But in this nation, the majority of poor people are white. Now, the largest percentage are black in terms of race, but there are 140 million poor people in this country. And then when you think about right here in Louisiana, there are 484,000 people that are uninsured even with the Affordable Care Act. And 28% of the census tracts in this state are at risk of being unable to afford water. It's not even whether it's poison, they can't even afford it. And 44,000 metric tons of toxins are emitted, carbon dioxide, from Louisiana, in Louisiana, in this state. There are 3,300 people who are homeless. In this state, you've got to work 89 hours a week. That's two 40-hour jobs and a piece just to afford a simple two-room bedroom apartment. And 896,000, almost a million people, make less than $15 an hour. 49% of the entire workforce in Louisiana makes less than a living wage. And nearly 1 million people are on food stamps, black, white, brown. And what we're doing in the Poor People's Campaign, Reverend Dr. Liz Theo Harris and all, are moving around this state, this country, saying the poor can no longer be isolated one from another. The 140 million people that are poor are going to have to connect in this country. Because the same states that block people's right to vote are poor states, and poor states are also the states where they push the worst toxins. They're doing the same thing to you. They're doing the same thing they're doing to you to the Apache Nation in Arizona. Am I right, Liz? The Apache Nation in Arizona. Only thing they're doing it with copper plants from other countries. They drill down, poison the aquifers, and then the aquifers poison the people. They're doing the same thing in North Carolina with coal ash ponds they're doing to you. They're doing the same thing up in Michigan. They knew that river was poison. Huh? It wasn't like they didn't find, they knew it. They knew it was poison in the 60s. And they said, let's save some money and we'll turn it loose, because those people, black and white people, just really don't know what's going on all over this country. Because it's violence. It's violence. You know, I was thinking about, I saw that picture of the Pope over there. And the Pope one time, Pope Francis, he said that we cannot love our earthly neighbors and sit quietly while the earth herself is made unfit for human habitation. He said, you cannot say you love humanity and yet give the weight to forces that tear up and destroy this climate. You cannot say that. And it's a sin to do it, because the earth is not the corporations. The earth does not belong to the politicians. The earth is, and the fullness is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and the world and everybody that dwells in it. And so we have to make a moral demand, not just a request, but a demand. We've got to come together and choose community, and we're going to have to do it together. That's why we're here. While we're trying to be Liz and I kind of see ourselves like connectors. You know, when you pipe fitters, that's all we are. We're not the leaders. We're just pipe fitters. Because if we can get the folk here in St. Parish hooked up with the Apache Nation in Arizona, and hooked up with the Navajo people in Nevada, and hooked up with the people in Michigan, if all of us get hooked up together, and if we understand what's going on, and if we start seeing these actions all over the country at our state houses and holding politicians accountable, and if we can form together a major poor people's congress to make mainstream these issues, and if we can have a mass march on Washington, D.C. in 2020, poor people coming together, and not some leader getting on the stage speaking for you, but you speak for yourself. I want the nation to hear what I heard in here tonight. Now, my brother knows my daddy. He knew my daddy. And I want you to know, I grew up fighting corporation and pollution. My daddy grew up, because I'm from Eastern North Carolina, where there was a company called Weyerhaeuser. And it poisoned the rivers. My father fought it. My father fought it in Warren County. Warren County, North Carolina, was where at night the corporations would have their trucks come in the city at night. They weren't close to a river. So what the trucks would do, what they found this poor black and white community, Brother Taylor, and they'd come in at night while the folk were asleep, and they turned the pipes on from the tankers and dropped PCB in the ditch. And folks started dying from cancer. And so some people started, you know, having prayer served and laying on hand. But Leon White said, wait a minute. It's one thing for us to ask God for healing, but it's another thing to find out what's causing the sickness in the first place. See, because in the Bible, when it says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor and healing to the brokenhearted, the word healing there in Greek actually means to heal supernaturally, like anointing on, but it also means to find out the cause of the sickness and remove it. That's what it actually means. And so Leon White and those preachers went out at night. They found out what they were doing, what they were dumping in those ditches. That's why people were getting sick. It wasn't some mystical devil. The corporation was the devil. And so what did they do? They decided, if you're going to kill me, you're not going to kill me without me standing up for myself. So the people started coming out at night, laying down in front of the trucks. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. You got to get radical with this thing. See, because If folk are willing to poison you, they are already radical. Think about it now. And if they're willing, as my brother said, to put it not that far from three schools, you're not dealing with normal folk. That ain't no Buck Private demon. No, that means they already mean. They already love their money more than they love you. And so Leon White and those, they went to the plant where the trucks left and laid down. Then the media started coming, and then the lawyers come, because some stuff ain't going to come to you till people know that you're willing to put your life on the line. You got to make this a news story. And you've already said the politicians ain't going to do it. They're going to say, well, we got to have one more meeting. One more, let's see. We got to negotiate. We got to look compromise. We got to wait till the next session. That's not how change happens. When people are trying to kill you, you have to live, and with every breath you have, use it to holler and protest and cry until other folk hear it. At my first pastorate, we had to fight because at night, you know, freaks come out at night. I bet you a lot of this poison stuff gets worse at night. I bet they open up the smokestacks. There ain't no telling what they dumping at night. But in my first pastorate, we had to fight businesses. You know what they would do? They would come in at night, and they would bring trucks in, and they would park the trucks with barrels of toxins. Unload them less than 75, 100 feet from the back door of black and poor white folks' houses. And we had to learn how to ring placards because they would put them in the trucks. You couldn't see what was up there. So we had to go out at night and take pictures of the placards and then read the placards to know what kind of toxins were in there. White and black, we had to do that. And the drums were full of poison in the backyard. And we had to stand up, poor people. Black and white. The KKK was connected to the business. They came at us. The city leaders came at us. And one or two black politicians came at us and said, y'all just calm down. Y'all calm down. Now, I wasn't as saved as I am now. I can't tell y'all what I said. But I said the same thing that Jesus said to that fig tree when that fig tree wasn't producing. Jesus said, damn you. That's what I said. And that's what he said. You read it, it's in the Bible. You think I'm going to sit here and let you kill my members? It's in the book. Y'all check it out. The Bible says he damned the fig tree. He cussed it. And we won, but we didn't win until we stood up. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And I'm here to tell you that I believe I was sitting there tonight. You know, every person, Democrat, Republican, getting ready to run for president, ought to be made to come to St. James Parish. And we got to make that happen. We got to make enough noise to make them have to come here. There ought not be a governor or a senator that runs from Louisiana that doesn't have to come here and say what they're going to do to stop this. And let me ask you a question. Is the stuff in the water? It's in the water. Well, maybe it's time for you all to do what the poor white farmers, poor white people did in North Carolina with some black people when these lagoons were poisoned. They all went and got them some jars of hog lagoon water. And they closed the jars, you know, those jars you put preserves in. And they took them to the state house and put them on the desk, since the politicians were saying it wasn't poison. And some of them took a little bucket and poured it on the desk. Said, if it ain't poison, and I bet you some change started to happen. I'm here to tell you that communities like St. Parish, we're going to have to think about how communities like what's happening in Arizona and Nevada and here And you're going to have to do this. I can't tell you, nope, we don't believe in helicopter leadership. But what are you willing to do if they're killing your children? And it might be that you all are going to have to decide to take yourselves, go in that state house, sit down, and refuse to leave if they arrest you, more come, until there's a light put on this. Because I'm telling you from experience, what I know in North Carolina, when they were doing certain things, it took us 4 years of civil disobedience. Every Monday, you got to be willing to do it and bring people together until you dramatize what Dr. King called a shameful condition. And that's what Poor People's Campaign Party is committed to do. Because if folk are not willing, as my friend said, to fight for your children, you're not even worthy to have them.
That's right.
And some of you here may have to hook on poor black folk, poor white folk, poor natives. Go right in that state house. I tell you what. If 2,000 of you all were to do it out of the 40,000, I bet some change would come. I bet you it would. And I bet you if you did it in like you sing, row, row, row your boat, you know, like, what they call that? You row, row, row your boat, row, row. What they call it? In the rounds. I bet you if 100 of y'all went in the speaker's office and 100 in the Senate pro tem's office and 100 in the governor's office, and when they arrest that 100, another 100 come and arrest. I bet you. Yeah. Now, at first, they're going to fight you because they think you're scared. First, they're going to, you know, arrest you and carry on. But if you did it long enough, consistent enough, people will come to help you. And like you said, if we start getting some lawsuits and say some of these people aren't dying because God called them home. They're dying because of government murder. Yeah. You see, the Bible is real clear, and I'm through. The Bible is real clear. In Jeremiah, how much time I got? 2 minutes? Okay. Let me say this, and she says time to shut the door. And I want you all to do what I'm doing right now. Take that. I want you to do what I'm doing right now. Because see, y'all gonna be in the state house and they're gonna tell you it's time to shut the door. We're gonna practice tonight. I ain't gonna be disruptive. I'm not gonna, not here. But there comes a point you have to stop following their rules. See, their rules are designed to keep you quiet. And when you're killing me, you have to create some new rules. Nonviolently, in love, but some new rules. Let me tell you how I know it's true. Can I just say it like this? The word of God says in Jeremiah, when the people were suffering, this is what God told the people and the prophets. Go down to the palace. This Jeremiah 22, it didn't say nothing about sending no email, no text, or a smoke signal. It said, go down to the palace and deliver this message to the kings and all of the officials. Tell them this is God's message. You better attend to the matters of justice. You better set things right between people. You better rescue the victims from the exploiters. You better stop taking advantage of the homeless, the orphans, and the widows. And you better stop murdering. There are 40,000 people in St. Paris. You're going to have to find a remnant here if it's not but 5%, which is 2,000 people that are willing to go down and not take no for an answer. How do I know you got to go down? Isaiah 10 says, woe unto those who legislate evil and rob the poor of their rights. Hebrews 10:39 says, we are not of those who shrink back unto destruction. But we are those who persevere unto the salvation of the soul. How do I know you got to go down? Because there ain't, for those of us as Christians, we don't even know a way to salvation without somebody coming down. And being willing to sacrifice. And being willing to engage in nonviolent action. That's what Jesus did. He came down and took on Caesar, Jesus. And Jesus turned water into wine. He didn't turn water into poison. Jesus breathed on the people the Holy Spirit. He didn't make people breathe pollution. Jesus, he used mud to heal a man's eyes. He didn't poison the land and turn dirt into death. Jesus created a pipeline of grace from heaven to earth, not a pipeline full of toxins. And so we are people of faith. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, for he hath anointed us to preach good news to the poor. And I just want you to say, we're going to tell this story. We want to hook up with you and help you hook up with people all over. But I want you to know right now that if you all decide to go down there, after you've gone the first time, we'll come see you. We'll bring some more attention to it and keep right on. But I want you to understand that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is some liberty. There is some freedom to stand up for what's right. And wherever God's Spirit is, there's power. When the Spirit of God is upon you, you can stand up. You can stand up to Caesar. You can fight back. You can fight for justice. When the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, one can chase 1,000 and two can put 10,000 to flight. When the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, you can take on crooked politicians and crooked business people. When the Spirit of the Lord is on you, you can bring resurrection out of death. And I declare, I don't go around a lot, but I'm a bishop in the church consecrated by other bishops. And I just want to say in that authority tonight, the Spirit of the Lord is on St. James Parish. I can see it. I can feel it. I can hear it. I know the sound of the Spirit. I know the look of the Spirit. I see it in your faces. God wants to use you to shake up this nation. He wants to use you to put a spotlight on environmental injustice in this nation. The Spirit of the Lord is on you. You don't have to be afraid of nobody and nothing. I dare you to try God and march to that state capitol and refuse to leave. And watch the Spirit of God break some yokes and tear apart the plans of evil men. But you cannot be afraid of being radical. You got to be extreme. Because Jesus was an extremist. The Holy Ghost is extreme. The prophets were extreme. And I declare unto you, I've been a lot of places. I've seen a lot of things. But I've, God Almighty knows, I've sensed the Holy Ghost in this movement. And I hear God calling you to be a major part of building the Poor People's Campaign, a national call. And I'm just glad that God let me live long enough to meet Liz Harris. And God let her live long enough to meet our sister. And that I got invited here. I've been hurting for 3 weeks after my brother's death. But I feel resurrection in this house. I've been crying every day. But when I came in here among you, God, I felt the power of the Holy Ghost. And it's time for you to turn over the tables of the money changers. That are changing money off with your children's lives. And if you stand up, God's going to send you help. And I declare that in the authority of the Holy Ghost. And in the name of Jesus. All right. I see it.
And on the back, yeah.
Oh Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. I wanna come when I come back, me and Liz come back, we gonna fill this up with some clean water. And then we go into jail with you. Hallelujah.
We had a good time. We have three more revivals that's coming up. I'll let you know when they're going to be. But I thank everyone. And have a safe trip back home.
Amen.
and pray for Rise.